This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for our true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. Say Ameen. Welcome everybody, inshallah, to the Peace and Unity Conference. And this is my first time visiting you all here in Abuja, in Nigeria in general. I came from the city of the Prophet ﷺ, Medina al-Munawwara. Allahumma salli ala habibina Muhammad. May Allah gather us there, inshallah ta'ala, soon, where I host you. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him, Munadi lil Iman, the one who called to faith, is the one who called people to an everlasting journey, a journey to realize their own reality, their own immortality, their own temporal state. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the man, when people just saw him, they realized there's a greater purpose in life. They realize that there's something to ascribe to and aspire to. They realize that life cannot just be about your day-to-day existence. It can't be just about making your money and taking care of a family and trying to find some love. And then after that, maybe have some children. And then after that, you perish from this earth. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who, when people looked at him, they said that there's gotta be a meaning to things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came with Islam and he read the Quran to people, you have to understand he came to a society where people thought one of the beliefs they had in the Meccan society at that time, that you only live once. YOLO, right? You only live once. This was the belief of the Meccan society. مَن يُحْيَى الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ, they would say. Who is the one that's going to resurrect and revive bones when they have become dust? Who is going to do that? They did not believe in resurrection. They did not believe in bi'tha. So they really believed you only have one life. You use it to your best. You become the greatest power you have, the greatest money that you can have, and that's it, you perish. And that is why, because they felt there was no sense of self-accountability. There was no accountability in life, so you can do what you liked. And that is why the Arab people at that time, it was very easy for somebody to commit harm and oppression against others and to take their rights. In fact, they would almost be proud of it. They would say to each other, for example, a story that's passed down among the Arabs. A man goes to a people that host him. And when they host him, they give him the generosity that the Arabs were known for. That generosity of hosting. So they host this man who comes by. And at night, what he does is he takes out his sword and he kills the host and takes his family as his own property. And not only that, he then writes a long poem praising himself of what he did. And then that poem is recited in front of the Kaaba, and then they see how, A'udhu Billah, may Allah protect us, that this oppression, how poetic it was, and so on and so forth. This sense of purposelessness because of the lack of self-accountability. And what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He came to teach humanity that there is an ultimate accountability for us all. And that is why the first thing the Nabi ﷺ did when he stood on the mountain of Safa to give the public proclamation of Islam, the first thing the Prophet ﷺ did is he said, O people of Mecca, and he called them by their names, by their tribes. Imagine this. The Prophet ﷺ calls Yoruba, he calls Hausa, right? He calls all of the different tribes. And then what would you do? You would pay attention, because that's what you identify with. So they all come gather around the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet ﷺ says to them, what would you say if I tell you that you will be held accountable on a day for the actions that you've done on this earth? And they were amazed and taken aback. Accountability? What accountability? To whom? To what God? What creator? And that's when the Prophet ﷺ told them that the ultimate accountability for human beings, in fact, our humanity, is based on knowing that we're accountable to the one Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how the message started. The entire message of Islam is summarized in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Kun fi dunya ka'abiri sabil." Stay in this world, or think of yourself in this world as a passerby. Someone that comes and is passing by. They rest under a tree, they get some rest, and then they move on. They're on their way to a different journey, a journey of their life and existence. And this is why I want you all to understand something. I grew up in America. And one of the things that a psychologist by the name of Dr. Lisa Miller, she says something interesting about the American society. And as you all know, we have a crisis in America with regards to the crisis of materialism. The crisis of materialism, where people are chasing the world and giving up their own selves even, and being lost in it. And this has become now globalized culture. You will see this now in Nigeria, you will see this in the world. She says something very interesting. She said that even although 80 to 90% of the American public believe in a higher being, many of the people who are diagnosed with clinical depression and they're taking pills, she said that 2/3 of those cases have to do with existential crisis, not actual mental instability. What does that mean? That means the vast majority of people in a country like America, and mimicking obviously the world, they believe in a higher being, but they're searching for an existence and purpose. They're searching for a reason to live, a purpose out there, a spirituality that's missing, a void in their hearts that's not there. And that is why Islam today is something that people need the most to fill that void that the Prophet ﷺ brought to the Meccan society. You and I take advantage our own Islam. You and I take advantage of the purpose that's given to us. But you don't know how many people are dying, waiting for some kind of purpose and direction to be given to them. And I'll just share with you a story. One of my friends, I asked him, I said, you know, what made you accept Islam? And he said, the fact that when I opened the Quran, I found for the first time something giving me direction, telling me, do this, don't do that, stay away from this, this is bad for you. There's some good in this, but the evil or the bad outweighs more. Look at the direction. He said, when I opened the book and it's giving me that sense of direction, I realized that this can only come from the Lord and the Creator One. And we take this for granted. We take this for granted. So when it comes to the discussion of the eternal journey and the journey of the soul and the journey of the hereafter, I want you all, my brothers and sisters, to just take a moment and reflect that your simple existence as being a Muslim is a blessing itself. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Everybody say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Because you've been given that purpose. You've been given that direction. The only thing is, we've been kind of lost from that. We're kind of constantly trying to check ourselves in finding that truth. Now, the Prophet ﷺ recognized that many people they suffer some form of religious trauma. They've been traumatized by people. They've been traumatized by a faith or religion. Somebody has taken them away from their connection to the divine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ embodied a way for people to recognize their true reality, their purpose, and their connection with Allah, the God Almighty, Most High. And that is why we as Muslims, we embody that message in the life of the Prophet ﷺ to connect people to this eternal journey. To this eternal journey. To make them realize there's something greater than just YOLO. You only live once. And the way the Prophet ﷺ did it, I want you to reflect with me. When the companions of the Prophet ﷺ accepted Islam, the first thing the Prophet ﷺ would teach them is absolute trust in the Almighty. Absolute trust that your affairs are in the hands of the God Almighty and Creator. And therefore, anything that happens to you, there is a reason for it and there's a wisdom behind it. You may not know it now, but there is something there. And when you see it, you will know. I had a friend recently that went through some very difficult situation. A difficult moment. He's going through a divorce. And I said to him, knowing the person he got married with was not compatible with him. But you know, sometimes we need to go through and make those mistakes for us to realize, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the way. And even though that moment right now is very difficult and hard for him, I said to him something because I know it's true. I said, Allah is preparing your happiness now. Don't worry. He's got your back. Allah is preparing your happiness. Allah is already preparing your happiness. Trust in Allah, you will see. And I saved the message. Because I know, inshallah, whenever he finds the person Allah wills for him to be with, then I will show him this text message and say, remember this? Remember this? This reminder. The Prophet ﷺ acted like that with many of the companions. Many of them who would go through difficulties and hardships and not see sometimes immediate, you know, good, immediate answer. And they would sometimes have moments of questioning. That's okay. That's part of faith. You're not going to sometimes see immediate answer. But if you have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will help you on this journey. It will help you on this eternal journey. Now, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam built this in his companions with one other thing, the second thing. And that is ultimate accountability to the Creator. Ultimate accountability. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to make a profound claim. A claim that Islam makes for all of humanity. The claim that Islam makes is that there is a hereafter that we are all going to be held accountable for. This is the claim of Islam. And therefore, the claim that Islam makes is that the highest form of accountability for human beings is the fact that the Creator is going to hold them accountable. This is the highest form of accountability. And we believe if human beings don't have that, there is very little which will stop a man from degrading and degrading to the point of animalistic, carnal desire and oppression if there is no check of that accountability. Whether it's the law or what's personal values, we believe the highest form of accountability that checks man is human being, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the human being is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, our God. This is the second thing the Prophet ﷺ instilled in his companions. In their eternal journey, that they're going to be accountable to their Creator. So, a man that knows he's accountable to the Lord will never oppress their fellow man or woman. Will never oppress the spouse that they've been given a trust and duty over. And Allah says in the Quran, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. We've taken from them a heavy covenant, a heavy trust. Do you know when that is used in the Quran as well? That word, a heavy, weighty trust, responsibility and promise, is only used in the Quran as well for the responsibility of prophethood. And the other time it's used is the responsibility of marriage, taking care of your spouse. Understanding the commitment of marriage is as weighty in Islam as prophethood.
And that is why people who know they're accountable to their Lord, they will take care of the people they're accountable for. And that is why our beloved Prophet ﷺ even would say that marriage completes half of your deen. Do you know why he said that? This is on all of our cards for marriage, right? When you get married, you've written this on your card. Marriage completes half of your deen. Come visit or come to such and such person's marriage. We don't finish the hadith. Do you know why the Prophet ﷺ said this? He said this because your entire life in this eternal journey, you only have one set of eyes, one set of ears, and one tongue to help you complete yourself, to help you overcome your shortcomings, to help you overcome your deficiencies and your mistakes. It's only one experience. So when you marry and you find the person that you're compatible with and that love and nurturing, you know what you're doing? You're admitting to yourself that there is another person that will help complete you. That person will complete your faith. Because there's another set of eyes, another set of ears, and another tongue. Trust me, there will be another tongue, inshallah, right? You will hear it. Alhamdulillah. To help complete you. To help take care of your shortcomings and deficiencies. And I want you to hear the rest of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. So let them have fear of Allah. Let them be conscious of that other half. Allahu Akbar. Let them remember that other half. Let them not oppress that other half. Let them not be annoyed at the other half. Let them not treat other people better than their own family in that other half. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that why? The ultimate accountability is to Allah. The ultimate accountability is to Allah. If it wasn't for that, what is stopping man from being animalistic? What is stopping man? And that is why you see the oppression that is happening in our communities. Domestic violence and beating and all of these things. To oppression at the world level, you see. It is because there are men who believe they don't have accountability to anyone. And that is why we believe there's ultimate judge. Allahul Hakim and Allahul Hakim. Allah is the one who in His court, no one will be oppressed. No one will be oppressed. This belief that is ingrained into a society, what do you think will happen? They will believe that everyone is responsible for themselves. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَةً. And you will face an accountability on the Day of Judgment. That is why the Prophet ﷺ taught the companions in this journey to the hereafter. Beyond, I want you to understand that there's a fear of death. Oftentimes when we talk about the journey to the hereafter and what's going to happen in the hereafter, it's a very grim topic. People start to become afraid. There has to be some level of, you know, fear put in people and things like this. This is not how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught his companions. This is not how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his companions. I want you to hear how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught his companions about the next journey. Listen to this. This is based on the two things I've already told you. Number one, this life is based on trust in Allah. This is the foundation of our life. Everything you do is to build your trust in Allah. And the second thing is accountability to Him. So how did the Prophet ﷺ then introduce to them what would happen to them after their passing? And what is this life for? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he said, "Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'." Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. And whoever hates or dislikes to meet Allah, the Creator, Allah also dislikes and hates to meet them. So Aisha radiallahu anha, look at this smart woman. And look at how real she was with her faith. She said, "O Prophet of Allah, all of us hate death. Ya Nabi Allah, أَكَرَاهِيَةَ الْمَوْتِ فَكُلُّنَا نَكْرَهَ الْمَوْتِ." If you're talking about death, all of us hate death. And we don't like it. We have a disdain for it. We don't think about it. The Prophet ﷺ has said, it is not like that, Ya Aisha. It's not about thinking about your death and your demise. Rather, when a believer is given the glad tidings of the mercy of Allah, His pleasure and paradise, they love to meet Allah. And Allah loves to meet them. And then when a person who disbelieves and rejects Allah is given news of the punishment at the hand of Allah and hardship is imposed on them, they hate to meet Allah and Allah hates to meet them. Look at the way the Prophet ﷺ framed this eternal journey. Look at how he wanted to change the concept of fear, but rather into love, of hope, of a moment where you're looking forward. You're trying to see when is that moment you're going to come and be reunited with your beloved. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent his life teaching the companions the third principle of this journey of life. Everything is done for the love of God. Everything is done for the love of God. This love of God is what brings love between people, is what balances relationships. This love of God will make you seek the pleasure of the Lord and will make you treat people properly. This love of God will give you contentment in your life. This love of God will fill the void everyone is searching for. Everyone is searching for. To the extent, a great American Muslim by the name of Malcolm X, rahimahullah ta'ala, Malik Shabazz, Malcolm, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said something very powerful. I want you all to hear. Malcolm X, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he went to Hajj, he reflected on this moment of him gathering with all of the people from the different parts of the world. And for the first time, he saw a society, he saw a people, he saw a faith which does not differentiate between black and white and color and caste and system and tribe. This is the ideal. This is the ideal. So he said, when I saw this, I saw people from all over the world, all different parts of the world. And he said, America needs to understand Islam, because this is the one religion that erases from a society the race problem. Throughout my travels in the Muslim world, I have met, talked to, and even eaten with people who in America would have been considered white. But the white attitude was removed from their minds. Meaning what? Exceptionalism. Thinking you're better than them. Thinking that you have civilization and they don't. Think that you are the savior of people. He said this mentality was removed from them. And it was removed by what? The religion of Islam, which speaks about ultimate equality. And he said, I have never before seen sincere and true brotherhood practiced by all colors together, irrespective of their color. And this is what he said, I've realized what true Islam is. The statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب أخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you are true believers until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. This is the hadith that made Malcolm X rahimahullah accept Islam. In fact, a professor in the University of Richmond in America by the name of Atiyah Hussein, who interviewed many people who accepted Islam in America, you know what she said? She said, most of the people I interviewed, whether white or black, said they converted after they read the life story of Malcolm X, his autobiography, his experience in life of a Muslim. He said, second to that was the Quran. That's the second thing. He said, but mostly the autobiography or the life story of Malcolm X, rahimahullah ta'ala. Do you know why, brothers and sisters? Our Prophet taught us that people see the application of your faith before they care what your faith has to say. This is the eternal journey the Prophet ﷺ taught his companions to prepare for. What you do in your application, how you live by your faith, is what people will judge you by and what you will be judged by, not what you say with your tongues and how you act. And that is why in our world today, even though Islam is a faith of the ideal, Muslims are not living up to the ideal. In fact, some of them said, Alhamdulillah, I learned about Islam before I met Muslims, because of our shortcomings. We are a faith that has no tolerance for racism, tribalism, or any kind of jahiliyyah, of preference of man, of preference of people, of preference of nations and society. But you see that in our community. You see that amongst Muslims. Because we are all trying to live up to this ideal. We're all trying to live up to this ideal, and we all have those shortcomings. In this eternal journey, brothers and sisters, The Prophet ﷺ taught his companions that the basis of unity of man is that you work in love of God. Love for God is what will make you treat people with the best of manners, with the best of akhlaq, and the best of society. And you will build a society that is based on that principle. The Prophet ﷺ would then describe what would happen in the hereafter for a person that lives according to these principles. And that is what you all expected, I'm sure, to hear in this lecture. What will happen when you go to the next life? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described in detail. He said, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a believer is dying, the angels of mercy come to them with silk cloth from the heavens. And they say, come out to the pleasure and the contentment of your Lord, who you've been living your life trusting in. You've been living your life acting in His love. You've been living your life only accountable to Him. That's why you would never oppress and wrong anyone else. And they say to Him, upon you is the mercy of God. And a fragrance descends on them, and a Lord who will never be angry with you at the time of a person's passing. I want you all to just reflect a moment in this point. How beautiful is it when you see someone who was righteous and they pass away? Some of you may reflect moments now when you've seen maybe your grandmother or your grandfather or your parents, may Allah help and protect them all, inshallah, and grant them long life for those of them who are alive, and forgive them for those of them who have passed. I want you all to reflect on someone you saw and you witnessed pass away. I've seen that. A righteous believer, when they pass away, you know what you see? You see them smiling. You see them seeing maybe faces of creation they haven't seen before. You see them telling you they're seeing light and white and those around them. Among them were my wife's family. A righteous woman, you wouldn't know whether she's the queen of any country, but she was the queen of the Akhirah because she read the Quran. She was a woman of Quran. She lived with the Quran. And there are our elders here who they have copies of the Quran that are so old, but they keep it next to them because that's their companion. This woman, when she was passing, she opened her eyes and she says, I see men in white standing around me. She says her shahad and she passes away. I had one of my teachers in Medina. His aunt, and he's from Yemen, may Allah help the people of Yemen. His aunt was a woman who could not speak. She lost the ability to speak. And one day she was working in the fields of Yemen. She calls out to her son. And her son comes running and she says to her son, my son, forgive me, for I'm going to the forgiveness of Allah. And she passes away. She passes away. And how many of the righteous before us, like Bilal radiallahu anhu, on his passing, on his deathbed, this great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does he say? His wife is crying, saying, oh, our sorrow, oh, our sadness. And obviously this is a moment of pain. But Bilal radiallahu anhu looks at his beloved wife and says, my wife, the one who's closest to me, the one who knows me the most, don't be sad. Because tomorrow, غَدًا نَلْقَى مُحَمَّدًا وَصُحْبَةً عليه الصلاة والسلام. Tomorrow we will meet our Prophet and his companions. And that's how he passes away. What a beautiful outlook on life. If I tell you all, what is it that you look forward in Jannah? I want you to write a list down. You might start thinking about very material things. I want a 500 bedroom mansion, inshallah. Okay. I want a water fountain of chocolate milk. Don't judge me, because that's what I want. Okay. I want to be able to fly. I want to be able to see, because I'm a history, you know, specialist. I want to see the entirety of human history like I was there. Right? It's very interesting. My wife is like, I think you have better things to do. I said, don't worry about it. And I want one thing more than anything. I want to be able to sit next to Rasulullah and hear his life from his own mouth. And I want to go to Abu Bakr, and I want to go to Umar, and Fatima, and Khadija, and Aisha, and have that moment. Because guess what? After I give you 5-10 minutes to tell me what you want in Jannah, that stuff is temporary, right? Alhamdulillah, like those are material things. But some of the greatest moments you will have in Jannah is you reuniting with those that you love. Isn't that right? That is the greatest thing in Jannah. I spent years away from my wife because we were separated in travel. And she had to study in university. And it's very difficult to leave your family. Very difficult. For those of you who have experienced this, you know what I mean. But subhanAllah, one thing I would try to comfort her and myself with, I would say, this is not goodbye. Even if we pass, Allah will reunite us again. So guess what? When that person receives, first of all, the greatest message you and I can hear in our lives, something that we're working for day and night as Muslims, something that we raise our hands and say, Ya Allah, I'm not perfect. Ya Allah, you know my... Inni atawajjuhu ilayka bi da'fi. I turn to you with my weakness. Like Umar radiallahu anhu say, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka da'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I complain to you the weakness of my strength. This is Umar. In our weakness, we turn to Allah. What are we asking? Oh Allah, don't be angry with us. Oh Allah, be pleased with us. Oh Allah, don't prevent good from you because of the bad that we do. Oh Allah, don't turn away from us. If you do, who will turn to us? The first thing you will hear in the moment of death is the angels descending and saying to you, Allah will never be angry with you ever. Mercy is written on you and the contentment and pleasure of your Lord. That's the first thing you will hear. Allahu Akbar. That's a day to live for. After that, they pass this soul as if they're superstars in the heavens. And they pass from one to another until they bring them to the gate of the heavens, where they say, the greeters of the gates of heavens, how amazing is the fragrance of this person that has come from the earth. Who is it? Who are they? They will name them the best of names they used to call them. This was the generous one. She was the one that cared about her family. She was the one that took care of the orphans. He was the one that never oppressed his own wife. He was the one that overcame his anger. All of those things. And then, that moment we've all been waiting for, the believers. يَأْتِي أَرْوَاحَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِهِ. The souls of the believers will come and join them. And we'll see this person that has come to the gates of paradise. You'll be reunited with that son or daughter you lost. You'll be reunited with the mother or father that you lost, or the spouse that you lost, or that friend that you lost, or that teacher that you lost at the gates of paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ say, and they rejoice more over them than any one of you rejoices and is happy when his absent loved one comes to him. On that day, you will be more happy than meeting in the dunya over someone that you, one of your beloved that you had not seen for a while. They will be more happy on that. Because guess what? This is eternal happiness. It's not temporary. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, they ask him, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? They ask about the dunya. Tell us about the people. What happened? What happened to my cousin? What happened to my brother? What happened to my sister? What happened to our mother and father? They say, let him be. He was in the hardship of this world. This is the first thing you're asking him. Let him enjoy the Jannah a little bit. And then they say, when he says, what did he miss? The Prophet ﷺ says that the people of heaven will say, this person was protected from hellfire by the mercy of Allah. So comes, hellfire is raised so that he sees what Allah saved him from. And he starts to thank Allah from that punishment. Then they bring him back to the gates of the earth, and they allow him, that person, to rest. And this is the journey of the soul of the believer. And the journey of the soul of the one who rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the complete opposite. And the greatest of those punishments, I want you all to remember one thing, is not when they're taken to the gates of paradise and they're rejected, is not that they're shown the punishments of the hellfire. The greatest forms of punishment are two. Number one, they will be prevented forever from reuniting with their loved ones. Forever. And the second, they will have hope in their heart, maybe one day they will be taken out from this punishment. But there is going to be an announcement made in hellfire. May Allah protect all of us. The announcement made is, you will stay here forever. And there is no hope for you. And that is the greatest torture and punishment, to lose absolute hope. To lose hope. May Allah protect all of us. This is the everlasting journey, my brothers and sisters. This is the journey that your Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his final words, he recited the verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ذلك الفضل من الله وكفى بالله عليما. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger will be in the company, will be in the companionship of those blessed by Allah, in the most beautiful of company. They will be with the prophets, the people of truth, the martyrs, and the righteous. What honorable company. This was the last verse our Prophet ﷺ recited before he passed away. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, the Prophet ﷺ, the last thing I heard him say is, مَعَ الَّذِينَ عَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَحَسَنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And Allah says, this is Allah's favor, and Allah truly knows who deserves it. Who deserves it. And what is it based on? مَنْ يُطْعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ. Whoever obeys Allah and whoever obeys His Messenger. And I leave you all with one thing. And that is, a companion by the name of Thawban radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a complaint. He said, Ya Rasulullah, every time I think about being separated from you, I become worried and distressed. I become depressed. I start having anxiety. I start thinking about, how will I be ever near you? When we leave you, when you leave us, and I become sad. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Ya Thawban, Allah revealed an ayah of the Quran just now for you. And he said, which verse was this? The one I just recited. The one I just recited. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he will be in the company of those who Allah has favored and blessed. And not only that, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know if I'm going to be with you. So he said, Why do you say that? Rabi'ah is his name. He said that, you're going to be so high. You're going to be so far. I don't have much to show. I don't have much actions. And the Prophet ﷺ looked at him and he gave one of the best things that he said to any Muslim. He said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. A person is with them, with the one that they love. And he said, but if you want to be with me on the Day of Judgment and in the hereafter, do one thing. Help me by doing a lot of sujood. Pray a lot. Constantly pray, because action is coupled with love. Another man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I don't think I will be with you. He said, why? He said, you're going to be so high. And I can't do anything that will make me close to you because you're so high. The Prophet ﷺ said, you will be with those whom you love. Anas ibn Malik said, there was no other hadith that made us more happy in Islam than this hadith. He said, because I swear by Allah, I hope to be with the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr and Umar, even though my actions are nowhere near theirs. This is Anas ibn Malik, a companion of the Prophet ﷺ. So with that, my brothers and sisters, in this eternal journey that we're all going on, of rectification is built on three pillars. Number one, trust in Allah, absolute trust, trust in Allah. Number two, accountability to Him, so you don't oppress a single human being, starting with those closest to you, and you rectify your manners with the closest to you before others. And lastly, you lead your life for the love of God. For the love of God, you act. Why? For the ultimate companionship He's going to grant you. Because that is the best reward in paradise. That is the best reward. Companionship. Companionship with number one, those who you love. Companionship number two, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his family, and his companions. And companionship ultimately with what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in his last words on this earth. Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la. O Allah, in your highest companionship. O Allah, in your highest companionship. O Allah, in your highest companionship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate our eternal journey. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to live by these principles. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah reunite us with Him, with our families. May Allah allow us to see His blessed face. May Allah allow us to drink from His blessed hand, from His pool of water, which we will never be hungry or thirsty ever again. May Allah make us His neighbors in paradise. May Allah gather us in the conference in Jannah like this, inshaAllah. May Allah gather us in the companionship of the ultimate reward in this eternal journey, is to see the companionship and be with our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad, wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa jazakum al khair al jazakum.